In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here with John Senecal, episode 198. We want to welcome in Dominic Rivers. Just for perspective, I met Dom in the fall of 1988, and he's been on the show before. And all I remembered was Dom had a big, fat, stuffed pig with a Reds hat on. And he's been a baseball fan for life. And I did his legit rotisserie league 1 year, and that was enough for me. But he's been doing it ever since. First of all, Dom, the rundown of the show is we're going to update the Red Sox and Yankees. We're going to talk about your recent time at Fenway. And then the big reason we wanted to have you on is you live in the Denver area. And obviously, we want to talk about the historically bad Colorado Rockies. First of all, Dom, how are you? How's your baseball life going?
I'm great. There's some definite interesting things about this season that are still unfolding. Baseball life's good.
Good. Okay. Dom, I think the policy is chime in whenever you want. Okay. Don't wait to be called on or whatever. We've been friends for a long time. So if you want to say something, just say something. We'll get a quick update on our teams. I mean, listen, as we're recording on Thursday morning, the Red Sox have lost five in a row. They're four games under 500. They're 9.5 out of first. I did sports this morning on my radio show, so I know all the stats. And Cora seems to have almost given up, to be quite honest with you. I hear his post-game sound every game, and he doesn't just sound despondent. He sounds like he's given up. And I go back to the one thing that I don't understand, that people don't hold him more accountable. The two worst fielding teams in the majors are the Colorado Rockies and the Boston Red Sox. And at some point, the manager has to pay for that. Like, what the hell is he doing with the team to prepare them for games? There's no way that if a well-drilled team somebody's got to be last in the league in fielding. But if you're a well-drilled team in a market like Boston, you should never be at the bottom. So my sports radio hot take, call up Roman Anthony. Be a jerk about first base and put whoever you want there. I don't care if it's Devers or my mom. And just let the kids go out and play, because they're not good enough now. And if they're not going to make a big trade, let's just let the kids go out and play.
That's basically the same thing they've been doing, though, Brian. Boston demands more than that. I mean, I'm sitting up here and everyone's crying for Roman Anthony, crying for Marcel Mayer. They got Mayer. Now they want Anthony. And now you're telling me just throw anyone at first base.
No,
I mean,
I'm not
saying you want to turn the team into a total joke.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying put whoever you think should be there.
They think Devers should be there, but Cora came out and said, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Cora came right out and said, we're not talking about that anymore. We're not talking about third base. We're not talking about first base. Like you said, they're defeated. They've turned their team, who could have been a contender, into an absolute joke, the Red Sox. Right. They're letting what's his name, dictate the hen house. Devers. I mean, Dom, you were there. You follow baseball. You follow baseball as much as we do.
Yeah, my perspective has changed over the last few weeks. My initial reaction was very much like Red Sox fans, that, you know, this guy's making all this money. Can't he just step up and do what leaders of teams do and just agree to play first? Then I took a look. I didn't realize he's hitting like at Ortiz levels. And going back to the offseason, I think they would have been happy if he would be happy at DH and let Bregman play third. And so I would keep Devers happy because he's, you know, one of the people that's actually, pounding the ball offensively and, doing their job. He's not going to really contribute. He's never been a great defender either way.
But do they have to come out and do they have to just end this? Because every single day in Boston media, they're talking about it. Do they have to just come out and be like, listen, Devers will not play third. He will not play first, regardless of what happens. He's going to be our DH for the rest of the season, unless he breaks his leg.
So just for perspective for listeners, John Senecal, who hails from Connecticut, has a job in Boston now. So he's in Boston anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week. And I'm sure that when he's driving up and down the city stuck in traffic, he's listening to sports radio and he's reading the paper. So he knows what they're talking about in Boston. Yeah. And I get it. I just honestly, like, this is why this podcast is so interesting to me, because the way the team has been run the last 5 years has makes me like baseball less. And so it's been a struggle for me to do a lot of these things, because it used to be our safe place, the place my wife and I love to go the most in the world. And like now it's tough. And the ballpark experience is to me is wanting, and the team stinks. So why not just pay next to nothing and go see the Hartford Yard Goats and have just as good a time? I mean, I can't wait for tourists like Dom Rivers to stop going to Fenway. That's what I want. I want the Iowa farm boy making his graduation trip to Boston to stay home. I want them to draw 18,000 in July and then see how they feel. I really think the team needs to fully crater financially before they have a reckoning or they get sold.
I'm surprised though that the ownership isn't more aggressive and just trying to make this
money.
Team.
They're still profiting. They're not losing money.
I don't get it. But why? But why turn the team into like a tabloid? Like, why do that? I get the injuries and stuff. You're going to deal with that. Like that, every team deals with that. But the whole Devers thing, it's just been handled terribly from the start. Terribly from the start.
I believe things can always get worse. And if I'm on here to talk somewhat about the Rockies, I understand there's been a relative malaise in the Boston nation since the Mookie Betts trade and thereafter. But in terms of, you know, the worst ownership groups, I still think, even with all their mistakes, that the Red Sox fan experience is definitely in the top half. It just should be in the top five all the time, because Fenway is such an asset. The fan base is such an asset. And also, we've seen things like the Twins go on 13-game winning streaks. Things have changed. I was at the game in Boston on May 4th, and it wasn't like people were thrilled with the way the Red Sox were playing, but they were a couple games out, a few games out. I mean, they could go on, you know, a 14-2 or 13-3 run, and they're right back in the thick of it. And they really do have talent. So I have not been privy to, you know, watching Cora's body language and that sort of thing. You know, that's disturbing. But I'll tell you, like, if I'm not saying you're suggesting they fire Cora, but if he were on the open market, all but two or three teams would be falling over themselves to take him.
Well, I think a lot of people want.
He just resigned.
A lot of people want to not going anywhere. A lot of people think his contract extension is part of the problem, that he's set for life now and he doesn't need to work. I don't know. Or he's too afraid of the players, or he sides with the players over ownership. I don't know what it is. But I want to get more about your Fenway experience. But let's get it. I mean, the Yankees are in the opposite direction. But even when a night they don't get hits, they win games. I mean, that the game on Wednesday night where all they had was a sack fly from Anthony Volpe, and there was enough to beat the Angels, who aren't terrible. I personally think, John, I want you to chime in. I mean, this weekend series with the Dodgers is going to be a whole lot of fun. And I think it's one of the things that gets a casual fan in, because I just think it's got everything.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's the big draw of the weekend series. But let's talk about what you talked about just a second ago with how the Yankees scored that one run. Now, if you look at that in the first inning, Ron Washington walked Aaron Judge. They had a leadoff, a double by Goldschmidt. He gets the second base. They walk Aaron Judge to put runners on first and second. And now it's the pressures on the pitcher, right? What does he do? He walks the next batter, loads the bases. So Anthony Volpe gets a sac fly. So comes back to bite you, right? So like we talked about before, Aaron Judge is as good as the people in front of him and behind him. And in that situation, it both worked out. So as long as Bellinger is hitting behind him and the guys are behind him and guys are getting on base, Aaron Judge is going to keep rolling. So you had talked about that, Brian. Why aren't they walking him? Well, Washington did it twice yesterday, and it backfired on him again. And I think you'll see that more and more. So that's why it's so important for Bellinger and the other guys to step up.
What about so? What about the weekend, though? I mean, the Dodgers are scuffling a little bit of late. But they're still the
Dodgers. I'm not so worried about the Dodgers as much anymore. You know, there's a reason why they have 12 pitchers, right? Because 9 of them right now are all hurt, right? So it's basically Yamamoto is their main draw. Kershaw's back. Shohei is throwing, so he is on track to be coming back. But the Yankees, I think, are just a better team right now. They're just playing better. I'm not so worried about it. I really not. And going down the road, I'm not so worried about it. I think the Yankees, if they stay healthy, have a better team than the Dodgers, especially pitching.
You have this
especially pitching.
You got a quiet confidence about you right now.
Well, the pitching, man, if it's healthy, like, look at the Yankees pitching. There is no other team in baseball that's as good as the Yankees pitching right now when you think about it, really. I mean, maybe there's one team close, but they are clicking on all cylinders right now, front to back.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. It's episode 198 of Fan Base, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry in sports with Dominic Rivers, baseball aficionado, good friend. Why don't we talk a little bit real quickly before we get to the Rockies? When was the last time before you were at Fenway this past, you know, a couple weeks ago? What was the last time you had been there before?
I can't believe it, but it might have been when I lived in Boston. I was a Boston resident last in 2007. I split half the year in Boston before moving back to Denver, which was the year both those teams met in the World Series. So I was feeling like touched by God as a baseball fan.
Yeah. Okay. So 2007. So that's 18 years.
18 years.
Like, yeah. What was different? What was the same? Like, talk about the comparison.
Yeah.
It smelled a lot of weed outside the stadium. The difference.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Denver and New York. And anyway, not to digress, but yeah. So those of you watching the video component might notice I've gotten a lot larger horizontally over the years. So starting to feel the Fenway experience, you know, I'm not the 1912 male. And so showed up and it was a rainy day. It was so happy that the couple or whoever was supposed to sit next to us didn't show up. So my partner and I could kind of man spread over a couple seats. So I was thinking this would have been a very uncomfortable day compared to 18 years. So there's that. But no, it was still a great experience. But having the afterglow of the 2004 situation and another would-be World Series championship happening in 07, it doesn't feel like that. It's still a lot better than in terms of the fan engagement than most places. But no, that was special, and it could be that way again. I am convinced, but. It's still, you know, even though it wasn't as crazy exciting as it was in 2007, you know, talked to my partner about, you know, the concession lines are still long. All the things that John talked about in his rant about Fenway a few episodes back are true. You know, we got there, we had this deal on seats where you had food with your ticket, right? So we sat in line for, I don't know, at least 15 minutes, we realized, hey, you're in the wrong line. You have to go down to this place. So I was grumpy right off the bat when I got in. Overall, it was good, but no, it does not match the magical times.
Well, I mean, just the promotion, because I sent you that promotion, right? I mean, I gave it to you.
Thank you.
And it's basically like two tickets, come with two hot dogs and two sodas, and the seats are good. I mean, you had legitimately good seats.
Yes, they were good seats.
But you have to go to one place to get the food and the drink. Right, and it's in one line in the back right field part of the stands or whatever. And but to me, that's the number one thing. When 2007, there were no promotional deals for tickets. No. Are you kidding me? You had to basically give up a lung to get a ticket back in the day. So to me, that's like difference number one. They do all this hokey crap now that they never used to do. They even play in-game music, which they never did. You know what I mean? They do giveaways. They didn't give away one piece of crap in the first 15 years I had season tickets. Not one bobblehead, not one, you know, poster, not a freaking magnet unless you bought a bag of peanuts. So you were grumpy because of the food line. The stands were not totally empty, but enough empty seats where I'm not going to do a guess on height and weight with you, where you could be comfortable. But it was still better than most parks. That's basically what you're saying.
The sitting in the seat was less comfortable than most parks, but the atmosphere, it's special. There's not a lot of places.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Places like it, and I still like it better than Wrigley, you know, the other old park. It's like,
why do you like it better than Wrigley? Because I thought Wrigley was more spacious and comfortable than Fenway.
I feel like Wrigley is like, I guess it does vary by seat. You know, that's definitely true. But I like the Green Monster. I like the, you know, sort of the enclosure. I like, even though the, you know, the Addison area there is really nice. The area around Fenway Park is it's a great experience. It really is. It's just not what it was in 2007, and so I can see why the Red Sox Nation is jaded.
Yeah, the outside of the stadium is really what's keeping that place together. I mean, I'm not going to go into the inside. I've been through that. You're never going to convince me it's a great place to watch a baseball game. It's good to look at, but other than that, it sucks. You had talked about, like, you went for a promotion to go there. Brian gave you a promotion, but you had sent us something this morning or late last night about a promotion that the Colorado Rockies are doing. And, you know, you got a great perspective on the Rockies because you're out there. But everybody knows that follows baseball how bad this team is. But this is kind of telling, the thing you sent to us. It's a monthly pass to go to any game you want to for $39.99. You can go to any single game with the Rockies for the month of June. Now, how many games is that?
There are 12 games in June, so $40 will get you into 12 games. And so you get
$40 and you can go to 12 games? What do you sit?
It's
anywhere. There's no one there.
Well, that's the thing. It's technically a standing room ticket in this bar area, so you get a seat at the bar. Up in the right field, you know, top, but people do that. They, if it's a good game, they'll walk down, and the ushers rarely bother you unless you're trying to get right behind home plate or something. You know, honestly,
what do they draw? Because it seats like 58,000. What do they draw these days?
I don't know the average on top of my head, but I feel like, you know, during the week, I've seen some, like, you know, the Wednesday, Thursday afternoon getaway games. It seems like there's been some real low numbers, like 9,000-10,000. But I think on a non-promotional Friday, Saturday night, they're well over 30.
Okay, but still plenty of room to find better seats.
They're definitely at bottom of the league. It's still a good place to see a game, and it's not as expensive. You know, even the non, you know, $40 for a month of tickets, the tickets are relatively priced well. That promotion, I think, is really targeted toward the college age, young 20 people who treat Coors Field kind of as one of the better singles bars in town. It's almost like and this was actually something very bright they did, and I feel like it's been copied in Seattle and maybe some other places. Right field. Well, first of all, Coors Field was supposed to be like 42,000 people, not 50. And then the first couple of years the first year at Mile High Stadium, when they were selling out every game at an 80,000 seat football stadium, setting attendance records, they said, hey, we're leaving money on the table. So they built this area that wasn't even going to be there. And, you know, of course, when the Rockies sort of declined, it was an unused spot. So they said, okay, we're going to put a bar up there, call it the Rooftop. And it became this sort of hip place to go for people, even if they don't really like baseball. There's a few sofas there, you know, TVs with and views of the mountains and things like that. So that's kind of how it happened. And it made the empty parts of the stadium, like you'd see it in Oakland with Mount Davis and things like that, look less empty. It was kind of a bright idea, but it's not what you'd call a rabid baseball fan area.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't have built that big a stadium. I mean, you know, and sure. I think the lesson's been learned. A lot of the new stadiums are skewing smaller.
I heard the Vegas stadium was going to be like in the low 30s.
Yeah.
Which sounds – that sounds a little – decided for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything up to 40 is kind of – can be good.
So it says here Colorado is averaging 26,000 a game.
That's not terrible. But still, no, it's plenty of space to get that $40 ticket and go where you want, though. And I think that my wife and I used to joke when we were paying all this money for season tickets that, I mean, one season could have paid for 10 seasons in the same seats in Kansas City. You know, I mean, it is like this strange disparity in ticket prices. He's Dom Rivers. I'm Brian Shackman, John Senecal. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 198. So let's dive into the Rockies. You know, as of this taping, they're on pace to lose 136 games, which would be 15 more than the record-setting White Sox last year. And
26 wins on pace. 26 wins.
Stunning. How? Now they've had a couple games, you know, against the Cubs. They didn't play poorly. They just couldn't produce enough runs. And I mean, how bad is it, Dom? Just give us a sense. Are they that bad, or are they bad luck? Like, I don't get it.
I think they're a historically bad offense and a bad pitching staff. I mean, right now, you know, a third of the way or so into the season, although they have the highest, you know, ERA in the league, it's like 6.36 or something like that. That, you know, when you do the park adjustments, whichever one you believe, I think Baseball Reference has them as the, you know, fourth worst pitching staff or ERA plus or whatever. But the offense is, you know, without any adjustments, the second fewest runs scored. I mean, that's historically bad. It's
Well, especially considering where they play.
OPS plus of 73. So 27% worse than the league average. That's historically bad. If you sort their lineups, they basically have three hitters that are decent to slightly above average, and everyone else has just been total garbage. And I think the Coors Field effect masks it. And of course, the pitching is not good, but I don't think it's as historically bad as the offense. And the other problem too is, sometimes you have a bad. The White Sox after last year, I think you go to the Baseball America and other publications, they're top five farm system, right? Thanks in some part to the Red Sox and Kyle Teal. The Rockies are middle to back of the pack, 15th, 20th, 22nd. It's not like there's immediate help on the way at all. The prospects they do have tend to be in the lower minors, not in AAA. So it's not good, and I think the White Sox are going to be good before the Rockies will.
Dom, it's funny you talked about their minor league system. So I thought about talking about this, and I was thinking, they're obviously a bad team, right? But
yeah.
I'm thinking, is it something they're doing in their drafts? Is it something that they're just not trading for players? So I went back and looked 10 years into their draft system, going back to 2015, right? And they've had 15 number one picks over that time. Now, some are, they get some in two or three, and actually they had three in 2015. And I've looked and see, I would figure, let's pick a lot of pitchers, right? Hopefully one of them will hit. And out of those 15 picks, they took five pitchers, and two of them have made the major leagues that are on their team, that are on the Rockies right now. A guy, Rolison and Dolander are on there. Now, they also had three infielders they picked and five outfielders out of those. Yeah. 15 picks and six of those 15 picks overall have made the majors across the board So they're just not either picking good players or, these pitchers that they're picking are burning out real quick. They're not hitting. They're not clicking and making it.
I think that's been more of the recent phenomenon. Back they've had 34, 33 seasons with nine winning records, four playoff appearances, zero division titles. So it's not like they've had a lot of success ever, but they've had probably zero winning seasons since, 2013-ish. And so there might be sort of a Peter principle here that they've only had four GMs in the whole history of the franchise. And the current one, Bill Schmidt, was in scouting for a long time and would have likely been involved with some of the decisions, to draft guys like Arenado and Tulowitzki and – historically good players, and he's sort of gotten promoted all the way up to GM. And so maybe the people under him have had bad luck, or they really need a fresh set of ideas. I mean, the fact that they've had two general managers since Dan O'Dowd got fired in 2013, 2014, and both were promoted from within. You would think that a team doing this badly would be the type of organization to look outside, but they're just known for being very insular. The Mountford family likes people they're comfortable with. It's not all money. I looked it up, and I think their payroll they're not the 30th. They're like around 20th, 21st.
Well, Dom, let me ask you two things. One is, I don't know anything about the owners, so tell me about that. But also, in Boston, it would never happen. Like, does the city even care?
The city does care. And there's been some off-the-cuff remarks every now and then. You hear, this is a football town. It's a Broncos town. You can never – come on. They were selling out Coors Field for years in the end of the last century. And even in 2012, 2013, there were 2 years under Bud Black where they made the playoffs. And it was I think that as being the number two or number three team, whether it's the Avs or Nuggets, who have both won titles, since the Rockies have been good, I still think there's a great opportunity. It's a great market here. It's not as big as, the Bostons and the New Yorks, but it's also not, tiny like the Kansas Cities or the Oklahoma Cities you see going to the championships in the NBA. So no, it is the market is not the problem. And you do have Coors Field's a great ballpark. You have the Rocky Mountains as a setting to see, you know, at the game. And even though there's a challenge with Coors Field, it gives you a unique product. It used to be used as the advantage. You know, teams were afraid to come in and play there, and you see less of that. You see fewer out-of-town pitchers getting intimidated by the Coors Field factor. Hence, the Rockies having the second fewest runs scored in all of Major League Baseball, despite this huge advantage. You can win here. It's just they're not doing it.
You made a good point there, Dom, about the general manager structure with that team. Yeah. You know, I went back and looked at the two guys you talked about, Arenado and Tulowitzki. Those are probably their two big marquee names that they had gotten rid of. And they traded Nolan Arenado in 2021 to the Cardinals. They also gave the Cardinals $50 million in cash. And in return, these are the guys they got. They got left-handed pitcher Austin Gomber, gone. Julius Montero, not heard of him. Mateo Heel, not heard of him. And right-hander Tony Losi. So all pitchers, well, no, two pitchers and two infielders, and none of which have returned anything. And then you look at Tulowitzki trade, and they got Jeff Hoffman, LaTroy Hawkins out of baseball, Miguel Castro, and Jesus Tinoco. So a bunch of guys that no one's ever heard of that haven't panned out. So bad trades. And even
Hoffman, who did pan out several years later,
a different team, and he wound up going.
Yeah.
So is there? I mean, I think this is a legit question. You know, given the way this team is going, I mean, is there a reason to keep this team in Colorado? Is there a thought that maybe, you know, given the elements, given just everything about it, can they keep a team here and actually win? Because eventually,
no way.
You can't just have a loser all the time.
I know, but the only thing I would say, first of all, I don't mean to step on you and go down. The biggest problem is that they can't get pitchers to go there because nobody wants to have shitty stats. I mean, that really, like, if you were getting paid $500,000 more to go to Denver and you could go to anywhere else, you're probably going to eat the money and go somewhere else. These guys,
and that's
guys
not going to change, though.
Right. But I mean, the team makes money. I mean, like, it's hard to see it's good. But go ahead, Dom. You answer that.
And I didn't realize this till John brought it up.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro.
we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're right. They can't attract free agent pitchers. They can attract free agent hitters. Maybe not right now, because who wants to play for a historically bad team? So why not build more through the draft? They have it. And, you know, you guys probably go into Baseball Reference, I assume, and you've clicked on like the Red Sox or the Yankees and like click on the button where it says show the best 24 players ever. The top 10, the Rockies, not a single one is a pitcher, right? And that comes from, you know, they've had 34 years to draft, to build some pitcher from within. And they didn't, you know, the Red Sox and Yankees, you know, Murderers Row and some of those great Red Sox office, even they have two or three guys in the top 10, who are the best in the history of their franchise. And it doesn't even count guys, and you know, that passed through that were great. You know, Lefty Grove isn't only because of his years with the A's. So the pitching staff are going to have to build within or through trade. Until the last couple of years when the Padres have gotten really good, I've always said that if ownership were neutral, you know, if I were offered a general manager job, I would much been more concerned being in Seattle or San Diego with the Marine Air. I mean, those are places where hitters just go to die. At least when you have a crazy offense, you've got an excitable fan base. Yeah. You feel like you can come back. Now, of course, your bullpen can blow any game, but you feel like you can come back. Hey, it's surmountable. They've only made the playoffs four times, but they've only had four general managers, and the last two have been, you know, people that have come from within. They have not.
So we got to.
They have not thrown a lot at the wall. They're throwing the same stuff at the wall. It's not.
So we got to move on here because we're a little tight on time. So just really quickly, then, what's the problem with the owners? What the hell is their problem?
They're insular. They don't accept outside ideas. I don't think it's a situation like where they're you know, although some fans would say so, where they're just these evil people that want to take the team out of town, like, you know, John Fisher and the A's. There have been stories where the owners have seen angry emails in the message boards, and they've got, you know, in the middle of the night sent angry emails. You know, I get the sense they would like to win. It's just they're stubborn about doing it their own ways. Small analytics departments, even if you don't believe analytics is everything, you don't want to be the smallest. And I know you guys are high on Clint Hurdle. I've heard nothing but good things about him too, but it's interesting that, you know, they brought him back, you know, for the good old days, to be, I guess he's bench coach now, because he was there when the culture was working. But he's also, you know, can symbolize some of the things that people have been skeptical about, you know, with the fact that it's a retread from an area where, and bringing back the old ideas may not be what's needed. They may need some new, fresh ideas.
John Senecal, Brian Shackman, Dom Rivers, episode 198 of Fanbase, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry in sports. Two things to end on. John, why don't you tee up your thoughts on whether it's the ABS system or anything else from the technical side of things, and then we'll ask him our steroid question.
Yeah, so we had talked in the last couple episodes recently about the technology coming back, and, you know, the check swing is being looked at in the Florida State League. You know, the ABS system was in the minors last year, and technology's coming, right? The labor contract's up after the 2026 season, so I'm guessing that this is all going to start trying to get roped in. This is probably, you know, what Manfred wants. I'd love to hear your take on it. I mean, obviously, you can't fight technology, you can't fight AI. It's coming, and it's there. So, what's your take on that?
I'm very pro technology in terms of balls and strikes. The game is so hard that it just makes me cringe when I see a batter do the right thing, take a pitch, and it's called a strike when it shouldn't be. I think it'll improve the game in so many ways when there's just some relative certainty that a pitch that looks like a strike that we can all see in our high def TV is a strike. So I think they will go to the challenge system next year. they're not listening to me, but I would actually have every ball and strike called. Just get rid of right. It's also I hate the idea of catcher framing. The fact that this has become such a big deal, and we're rewarding athletes for doing something that's uninteresting. It's, you're getting rewarded for catching a ball pretty instead of either being a hitter, which more offense, I'm all for that. Locking balls in the dirt, you know, saving a run from coming in. I saw something that shocked me yesterday. If you look at the difference between, we all know Sal Perez, you know, the good hitting catcher. His Fangraphs WAR career is like 18, and his Baseball Reference is like 34. The only difference is one of them factors in framing, the other does not. It shouldn't be that much of a difference. So the fact that we get rid of framing is good for me. So that's one thing. In terms of other things like check swings, I mean, I guess if you get it right, but the balls and strikes is one way. I don't like the replay delays either, but I'd rather they get it right just because of the nature of baseball and how hard it is to play. Get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, with the technology nowadays, you don't need an umpire on the field, period. I mean, with all the cameras and how they could set things up and fixed cameras and moving cameras, you could do the whole game without umpires. Yeah. That's fully down the road. But you brought up a good point about going full with the ABS system. Obviously, I don't see that happening right away. I think it's going to be something different than what they've been doing. Like, it's only like two challenges a game because, you know, if you go full ABS and you get rid of the umpires, you're also going to be affecting the catchers, right? Because like you said, that gets rid of the use of the framing stuff. So now you're going to go back to the hitting catchers. You're going to want the guys like the Fisks and the Yazes. I mean, not the Yazes, the Fisks and that can hit, right? There aren't these finesse catchers. So that's going to change the game baseball if something like that happens. I don't see that happening right away, but
it will. There's still other skills that are valuable. You know, throwing out runs, controlling the running game because now it's easier to steal bases close together, closer together because they're bigger. You're right, but I'd rather reward that. I'd rather reward something that's interesting for the fan to watch than how they deceive umpires. Do you deceive umpires better than others? That to me is not that interesting, and yes, it's going to hurt the economic viability of these good framing catchers, but it's a zero-sum game. You hurt that guy's viability, you help the other guy's viability, and I'm pro the other guy, the guy that can knock the crap out of the ball. And there's defensive things that catchers do that are really important. If you block a ball in the dirt with a guy on third, that's like hitting a home run. If you're a kind of catcher that made a play no one else could make, that is saving a run, which is good as Ken Griffey Jr. catching a home run over the fence. So there, it's not like it's just going to make them hitters, but yeah, it will make hitting more important. I'm all for that. There's not enough guys getting on base, and you know, it's so.
So I mean, listen, I'm not going to go into this too deep. I mean, I understand. I think all your arguments are valid, and it's probably all true. I'm a little bit more old school that I don't mind some human error, and I think it's part of the charm of all sports. So I'm not as pro replay as everybody, but I understand that I'm a dinosaur and I get it. So I don't want to be pushed back on that. And the only thing I'll say is that the charm of the game, like I watch a Lasorda rant or an Earl Weaver rant, at least 5 or 6 times a year. And there's something, and again, this is about evolution and I get it, but there's something about it that I already miss now with today's game, and it's going to make it even more antiseptic. So I get all the arguments. There's something about the character side of it that's just going to die on the vine, and I guess I'm going to have to be okay with it. So listen, we've got to go real quick before we go. John and I had what I thought was an interesting conversation, and John brought it up, which is, you know, with Rose and Shula Show or whatever, brought up the Hall of Fame debate. Then we talked about the steroids, and most of the steroid guys like Bonds and Clemens have never copped to it, right? But he brought up the example of Fernando Tatis Jr., who was busted. And his question was, what if he goes on and has the same numbers for the next 6, 8, 10 years and is Hall of Fame worthy? Does that guy get in?
Well, if it were up to me, the answer would be yes. And I'm not pro steroids. I'm not pro cheating. But if we believe that the testing is robust and he has not cheated since then, I recognize he may not earn the benefit of the doubt. But if that's the case, then he will have lost basically a year that year. I mean, and half a season of salary, a year of eligibility because he was hurt through part of it too. I would say he's been punished, but it is a democracy, and it's not just a democracy. I mean, you got to get 75% of the writers to pick you, and this is why I don't think Rose is going to get any time soon. So these player veteran committees are harsher, I think, on steroids and gambling than the writers are. It might be harder for Rose to get it. I mean, even in some of his good friends before he died, Frank Robinson was like, I don't ever want to see Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Hmm. And this, and they were tight when Rose came to the majors. So I am a bigger Hall guy than people. I may be a little more forgiving than some people. But no, I think that there's a lot more to be played. I think Tatis is like at 22 war. So really he's got it like triple his volume to get in. But I don't see why he can't do it. He seems to be in great shape. You know, if he gets a second steroid thing, then
yeah, that's not happening. He's done.
That's tough. I mean, A-Rod is as good a player as I ever saw. And, you know, top three that I ever saw play, and he got two suspensions. I don't know if he's topped out at like 55%, 60%. You got to get 75 and he hasn't gotten in. So, but no, I think if he plays till he's 40 and he doesn't have another, incident the whole time, then maybe they'll forgive something he did when he was 23 or 24.
Last thoughts, John?
No, I mean, that's basically the same thoughts I had. It's interesting that, you know, A-Rod comes up. He keeps coming up, man. The biggest free pass in baseball, biggest cheater, but he still's up on the screen. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I could say some things I'm not going to say, even on this podcast.
I still got stock in his stupid company, though.
You do not. How much is it worth?
I don't know. I haven't checked in like 2 years, dude. I have no idea.
Listen, he's John Senecal, the heart and soul of this podcast. Dom Rivers, a good friend of mine for, gosh, now we're getting on 40 years in a couple, right?
Oh, wait, real quick, yeah. Don. The Rockies going to win 35 games. You can get on this bucket of wings with us. The over is 35 for a bucket of wings, over or under.
I would say over.
I have the over.
You think they're going to win? Wow. They're projected for 26. You're giving them 10 more wins than they're projected. They're going to get
hot. They lost in extra innings last night. You know, that I don't know. I mean, so they could blow it up and actually trade one or two of their good players and be worse. But I think they will. And they're still the worst team, you know, ever in the modern era. Right. If they win 36, 37 games. So it's not like I'm predicting that they're going
to just to repeat, the over under is 35. Dom and I have the over. John has the under. If the under hits, John buys me a bucket of wings at my favorite place. And
if the under hits, I get right. It.
And if the over hits, you buy them.
And just for the record, I said they wouldn't win 30 games this year.
I gave you 35. I felt bad about it. I might regret that. So, Dom, you might have to fly back in. Listen, we got to run. Dom, thanks so much, buddy. We love you.
This was fun. Thanks a lot.
Dom Rivers, John Senecal, Brian Jackson. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.